But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he saw an occasion against the Philistines. For that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath. And the Bible says, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But, the Bible says, he told not his father or his mother what he had done. I want to talk tonight, this little thought, don't deviate from the pathway. Don't deviate from the pathway. Father, I pray tonight for your divine help. I pray, God, to fill the Holy Spirit. And Father, you know my body's weak tonight physically, but I pray, God, that you help me to preach your word tonight. I pray, God, that you take the word of God, let it come alive to us. I pray, God, that you stir us on the inside. I pray, God, that you draw us a little closer. I pray, God, that you help us to see some things that we so desperately need to see and to respond in the way, God, that we need to respond. And I pray, God, when all the dust settles and we've said the last amen, I pray, God, with me tonight with strength and encouragement and with Holy Ghost peace. Not peace that's been manufactured by us, but peace that's been manifested by the Holy Spirit. And for that, Father, we'll shout hallelujah. God, help somebody, because somebody needs your help tonight. Thank God there's one here or one that's watching that's not saved, blood bought, born again. They've not been redeemed. They're not in the family of God. They don't know if they die right now, they go to heaven. But I'll pray, God, this is that night they receive Jesus as their Lord, Savior, yes, sir, and King. And for that, God will praise you. And then, Lord, if I left anything out, please, sir, meet that great need as well. We love you much, and we owe you everything. Listen, your son's name we pray. Not weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me say it. Don't deviate from the pathway. That word deviate means to turn aside as from the route or the way or the course. Just thought about this. Brother Dennis has a new route. He's having to get familiar with this new route. Well, as he's on this new route, he has to make sure that he stays on course. Because if he gets sidetracked, it may cause him a lot of problems. It might cause him to be behind schedule. A lot of things can happen. I wonder to myself, have some of us deviated from the pathway? Maybe that's why we're behind and we're not where we need to be or could be at this point in our Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because deviating from the pathway will slow us down. And we see that's what took place with Samson here. He deviated from the pathway. What do you mean by that? Well, let me show you. The Bible says in verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and they came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. That's not talking about a child, by the way. That's a little young goat. All right. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father and mother what he had done. Where was his mom and daddy? Apparently, my dear friends, he had deviated from the pathway. He was not in their presence. They started out together. But then somewhere along the way, whether he lagged behind or whether he got in front of them, but he deviated from the path. And when he killed that lion, he did not tell them. They had no idea what had happened. So that lets us know that they were not with him. They were not present when he killed the young lion. But I thought to myself, he didn't tell them. Why did he not tell them? And if he had deviated from the pathway, why? Well, there's a clue in verse 5. The Bible says, then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath and came to what? The vineyards. And the Bible says it was there they found trouble. What are you doing in the vineyard? So, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Remember, he had the Nazarite vow. He doesn't want to be around there looking at wine or grape from the tree or any of those things. So why is he over there? I thought to myself, I wonder if he got curious. He wants to see. I mean, because he can't. Let me show you. Go, hold your place here. Go with me to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 and verse number 1. Number 6 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says about this Nazarite vow. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 6 verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying this, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to a vow of what? A Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Here's the guidelines. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes, or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. And the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled. We'll just stop right there. But notice he says here, he's not supposed to eat any type of grapes, the dried or whatever the case might be. Don't drink any of that wine, none of that stuff. So why is he in the vineyard? His mom and daddy ain't around, but there he is in the midst of the vineyard. Perhaps he's curious. He wants to just at least look at it, maybe want to smell it, maybe talk about 10 more grapes, I don't know. But he was somewhere he should not have been. He had deviated from the path. And he had been set aside, God said, to be a Nazarite from the day of his birth until the last breath that he took. The normal Nazarite vow would normally be for 30 days, in some cases 60 days, in some cases 100 days. But in this case, for him, he was the Nazarite, that vow, from the day he was born until the day that he died. But here he is. He has deviated from the pathway. If you and I are not careful, we'll be traveling down life's road, and we'll get curious about some stuff that we don't need to touch or look at or eat or whatever the case might be, be a part of. Be a part of. Mr. Weisberg, why ain't never been no club? What's going on at the club? I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to go in there and see what's going on. Why? Well, I'm just curious. You may get curious and wind up getting hurt. Notice what happens. He deviated, and then we see the danger. Go back over to Judges, chapter number 14 of Judges. The Bible says this in chapter number 14 and verse 5. The Bible says, he came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. There was a lion there to meet him on the pathway that he should not have taken. And there he was. You know what, my dear friends, when you and I deviate from the pathway, you know what will happen? There'll be a lion that'll be there waiting to distract us, like you're doing right now. They'll be waiting to distract us, so that we won't follow the pathway. Seriously, we won't follow the pathway that we ought to be following. And it don't take much. It's just like with him, you know, and he's a little grand boy. But he's over there, and y'all should have seen from my view. All heads start turning that way. You know, so you know what that means? I've been talking for the last 5 minutes. Anybody heard what I see? Don't make me laugh, I told y'all. But now, that's yes. But nonetheless, though, what happened was he deviated, and guess what? There's a lion waiting on him. When you and I deviate, remember the Bible says things that happen in the Old Testament, what happened for our examples? We know, my dear friends, when you and I deviate from the pathway that God has placed us on, there will be danger. There will be danger. And the Bible says this in verse number 5. The Bible says, and behold, a young lion roared against him. That were against me to encounter him, to meet him. And by the way, it was a young lion. So I said, well, what's the big deal about that? He wasn't old. An old lion might be a little bit slow. It might be a little this, a little that. But this was a young lion. You know, he's like Simba. You know, I mean, he's ready. But you know what, my dear friends? This next thing we see, though, is we go from the deviation to the danger. And then we see, watch this, the deliverance. The deliverance, though, is mercy and grace. The Bible says in verse number 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The Spirit of God didn't have to get on him because he was deviated from the pathway. Here he was, wasn't with his mama or his daddy. Here he is in this vineyard, my dear friends. Here he is in a place he shouldn't be. He's met this roaring lion, but then God, with his mercy and grace, we see in action, comes upon him and gives him strength. I wonder how many of us can remember when God gave us grace and mercy when we were in places that we should not have been. Places that we could have got hurt. Places where we could have got wounded. Our life could have been taken for a number of things. But we knew there was God's grace and it was God's mercy. But now don't get carried away now and say, well, I'll just do this and God will send grace and mercy. Notice, grace and mercy. Mercy is not giving what you deserve. And grace is undeserved favor. So it's not like, Lord, I need some grace and mercy because I'm going to go over here and do this and then I want you to come back. No! I don't forget, man, probably about 20 years ago or so, I remember a young person trying to help and encourage, and I never forget it. I said, I know I'm getting ready to do something that I'm not supposed to do, okay? But I feel like I want to do it anyway. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, don't do that. Well, they did it anyway. And probably for about 3 or 4 months or something like that, they was miserable. Guess what they had lost? This is what they told me. I lost my joy and my peace. But I didn't think that, you know how you think, that ain't going to be a big deal. I mean, you know, I lost my joy and peace, I'll come back and get right with God, whatever the case might be. I mean, that everything's going to be all right. Listen, we don't know what the consequences of our willfully sinning against God is going to be. We don't know. We think we have an idea. Well, that's what happened in joy and no peace. And what I'll do is I'll drag in the world. I'll be able to put maybe a year or two or maybe 6 months, whatever. Now I'll come back to God and get everything right. I'm going to tell you something, my dear friends. When you and I willfully walk away and get off on the wrong path, you have no longer how long you're going to be out there. And when I left, when I was 17, I was out there for another 6 years. 6 years. Just wasting time. All kind of problems, all kind of stuff. I wish I had to go through all that mess, all that stuff. But by God's grace and His mercy. And we see right here, my dear friends, the Bible shows us the Spirit of God came upon Samson, and the Bible says, and he came mightily. That word mightily means in a rush. It just broke out on him. And the Bible says, and he rent, he split him as he would have rent a kid, as he would have split a kid or a young goat. But no, this was a lion. But God gave him so much strength and so much power that he just tore that lion to pieces. That's God's grace and God's mercy. And then we see, my dear friends, he goes from that deliverance, and then we see the non-discussion. The Bible says in verse number 6, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Why won't you discuss this with your mom and daddy if everything's okay? Well, because I got to explain that I killed a lion, but I killed a lion in the vineyard, and probably wasn't supposed to be in the vineyard, and so therefore, listen, when we can't freely talk with those who love us and are closest to us, and we can't freely talk, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I don't want you to know. Why don't you want me to know? Because you may tell me that this is not the right thing to do, or I should not have been where I was at. You know what? That non-discussion is going to lead to more problems. We'll see it tonight. We'll see it later. Because later on, he's going to come back and he's going to see what happens to that lion. And he's going to do something that's going to begin to mess up things in his life even more so. Because perhaps if he told his mom and dad what happened, they said, listen, don't you only build in that vineyard? We're not going back through that vineyard. We're going to stay on the route we're supposed to stay on. But instead, you, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to give you a little peek. If you look back in verse number 8, the Bible says this, and after a time, he returned to take her, watch this, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he ate of that, gave to his mom and dad. They had no idea where he got that honey from. He was touching something that was dead that he was not supposed to touch. What are you saying, preacher? One problem will lead to another problem, especially if we don't discuss it with people that will probably help us and not hurt us. as a pastor, I've been pastoring 20 years, and I'm amazed at how a lot of times people will have decisions they've got to make, and a lot of times they don't say anything to me until after the fact. After the fact, they've already made the decision and decided this is what they're going to do. Then they come talk to me. What are you talking to me now for? I mean, talk to me beforehand, because then maybe I can help play with you about that. I can help ask God to give you direction and guidance. Maybe God will help me to use some scripture that might help you in some way. That's not what, God knows what you're going to say. So that's what, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know when there's some things you say to the person, well, I know what they're going to say, so I don't want to talk to them. I want to find somebody that's going to agree with me. Okay, I want to find somebody that's going to put a stamp of approval on this decision I'm about to make. Listen, my dear friends, if we want truth and we want victory, hey, let's go to some sources that might give us some biblical advice, some biblical direction that will lead us to victory and not deviating from the pathway. Samson deviated from the pathway. It led, my friends, to danger. He did get this deliverance, but also led to non-discussion. It's going to lead to some more problems that's going to take place in Samson's life. Some say that when he killed that lion, he wasn't supposed to touch anything dead. Well, and I understand that theory, but nowhere in the Bible says they can't eat food. Okay, so it wasn't so much there was a dead lion. Some scholars believe it's because he's not supposed to touch a dead person. If you study that Masoretic vow, he was not supposed to touch a dead person. Now, for most people, remember, the vow was only for like 30 days or 60 days or 100 days. But for him, it was his entire life. Well, we'll see later, he's going to kill a lot of people, ain't he? He's going to touch a whole lot of dead bodies. What are you saying, preacher? Here's a man that was strong, but yet he was weak. Like I told you earlier, a few weeks ago, one of his weaknesses was something that started with a W. It ended with an N. Women. That was his downfall. Women. And when he laid his head in Delilah's lap and told her exactly where his strength was, she cut his hair off. And next thing he knows, he's grinding at the mill. By the way, we all got weaknesses. But you know what? Let's not tempt God. Let's not tempt God. Listen, if I'm trying to diet, I'm not going by Big Daddy's. I'm not going to even turn down, what's the name of that street? I'm not turning down Graham. I'm going to keep straight going down 169th. Just keep on driving. No, I'm going to take a shortcut to Brett's house. No! Because I'm going to smell. Matter of fact, I shouldn't even go down 169th. Because I'm going to smell it coming through and it's going to hit my window. It's going to hit my nose. And I said, well, maybe just a little bit. Just a little bit. I was joking around yesterday with my cousin, and they was talking about fasting and stuff. They were trying to get her to eat this, and woo, it was good. They had this thing that one of my cousins had made, and it had strawberry. It was a muffin, like, they had strawberry on the inside with cream cheese on top, and they had some chocolate, a white chocolate on there, and they were trying to get her. She said, the devil is a lie. I'm not going to touch that. She's playing joke around stuff, and then somebody started talking about fasting and stuff. She said, I can't fast. You know, she said, but you know what, you can't. Yesterday, I put this on Facebook. She said, you know what you can do? You can fast. But you can do this. Don't stop your fast, but put it on pause. Put it on pause for about 30 minutes, and then you come back and pick up on your fast after you take it off pause, and then you add the 30 minutes that you missed on the back end of it. So you still stopping at 12, you stop at 12:30. But you know what, in reality? And she was joking around, but in reality, we think like that sometimes too. You know what? I'm going to serve God, but I'm going to put it on pause right here. And I'm going to do this, then we'll come back, and everything's going to be smooth. Don't put it on pause. Keep going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ so we can get that victory that we long to have. I got two questions and we're done. First question is this. Do we feel the urge? I ain't talking about your neighbor. Do we feel the urge to deviate from the path? Do we feel the urge to deviate from the path? There's sometimes when we all joke about it sometimes, you know, we get this feeling down or whatever. And then sometimes I say, you know what? Just forget it. Just forget it. You know, I need me some comfort food. Man, I'll go over to one of the grocery stores and get me a container of that cream cheese. I'll take it and I'll put it in the refrigerator and let that thing get solid. And I'll get me a spoon and I'll eat it like ice cream. Don't y'all do that. I gave some to Uriah. He loves it. But anyhow, But sometimes, you know how you feel like, you just feel like, you know what, what's the use? What's the use? I'm going to give me some cream cheese, and then sometimes I'm going, I'm just telling myself because I am preaching, but nonetheless, but sometimes I'm with the Wally's, and I'm going with Wally's, and yes, I'll get the catfish filet large, but then I'll also get a polo sauce with french fries. What you doing, preacher? I'm like, man, I just need to do this, you know? Then I'll get to the house and I'll put my hot sauce on my fish and eat the french fries and eat the bread and grab my polo sausage and eat that with my french fries. And I'll be sitting there. Then sometimes I'll be, I can't tell Jolene where she go. I can't tell Jolene because if I do this, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You should have ate all that stuff. But I just want to tell you how I feel. You know what? That's what happens though. In general, we say, you know what? Forget the whole thing. I'm going to go ahead and just do this. But then later, we're going to feel those pains. And we're going to feel those hurts. And we don't want some sympathy. You know what? God has mercy. He has grace. But also, God's the perfect parent. He's the perfect parent. And you know how, if you're a good parent, what do you do a lot of times? Okay, you know what? You're going to have to suffer a little while. Because you did this to yourself. I told you not to. You know? I'm going to help you, but you need to suffer a little while. You know? I mean, you need to feel what you've done. And sometimes God does that. The Bible calls it chastening of the Lord. He corrects us. He's the perfect parent. Let me ask you a question again. Do we feel the urge to deviate from the path? Then secondly, do we realize the possible dangers? Do we realize the possible dangers? Samson had no idea he was going to meet a lion. He had no idea he was going to come back later and then get that honey from that lion. He had no idea that whole thing was going to cause him to lose the woman he wanted. When he went to tell those guys about that riddle, and then she exposed him by finding out the truth, finding out the riddle from him, and then all those things that took place. And by the way, and then she lost her life, and her father lost his life. But I wonder, did it all start because he deviated from the pathway and went through the vineyard? Let's not go through the vineyard. Let's not go through the vineyard. My last was a statement. Let's ask God for strength. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings, and I tried my best to get out the word of God as you gave it to me to deliver to the precious souls that have gathered here tonight. And I pray and ask God, if we are contemplating, if we're thinking about deviating from the course, the path that you placed us on, God, help us to realize that deviating from the path is not going to lead to victory. Will lead to danger. Who knows who will be affected by the detour that we take, by the deviating that we make in our life. When Samson did it, it's affected some other folks too. And I pray, God, we would think about the cost. Think about the cost that it may have on other people as well as ourselves. Perhaps, God, that some of our brothers and sisters that are here tonight, they're going to come talk to you about strength and encouragement. They're facing all types of pressures and problems. But Lord, as the song said a few moments ago, Lord, there's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. But we got to trust you. Trust you when it's the darkest. Trust you, Father, when there's lightning striking all around us. Trust you, Father, when the roads are Lord, aren't even visible. But trust you. Perhaps, God, that somebody wants to pray about other matters that have nothing to do with the message. But I do pray, God, they come and talk to you. Perhaps, God, that folks want to pray for somebody that they love and care for who has deviated from the pathway. But, God, whatever the needs are, help us to respond and receive the victory that you have in store for us. That's it. We've heard the songs of the sermon. Now it's time to respond. For your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.